Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Yeah, back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Gino, is Paul mowing today?
He is not. He's good, but I don't know when he last mowed.
Paul, settle something for us here. We're trying to determine the optimal time for mowing, and I think it was actually the last time that we had you on with us. You were mowing in the middle of the afternoon, which is tough for us. We're tethered to a studio from 3 until 6 every afternoon. Are you an early morning mow guy? I mean, what's the earliest? What's the latest? What are your parameters for when you're out there to do your lawn manicure?
No, I usually don't get to it till afternoon, afternoon or evening. Sometimes I started at 6 o'clock or something like that. So you're more apt to see me out between 2 and 6.
All right. So you mentioned sometimes after 6 o'clock. Would you go after 6 o'clock like I'm planning on doing on a Friday night, or is that bad form?
Oh no, absolutely, I would. The bad form is if it were 6 o'clock in the morning. Or, you know, I don't know when a good time in the morning is. 9 o'clock okay?
I think 9 o'clock is safe.
This comes up because my neighbor, every time on a Friday, and I'll get home and time to have a cold one on the deck. Nope, it's Friday. Like 7 o'clock, it's loud. I don't know. I think you just got to read the room on something like that. And that's why I was telling Danger, hey, you got to make sure there's no gatherings. Nobody's out on their deck tonight. He's going to go ahead and
I'm going after it anyways. Yeah. That's fine. Paul, we had a bit of Sabres news today. What I'm just stunned by is that the announcement that Ryan Miller is going to have his number retired, that there are actually people out there that are like, why is he having his retired number? I can't for the life of me understand what those people didn't see in Ryan Miller. This is a worthy inclusion, is it not?
I've never been in favor of it.
Oh, interesting.
If you look at his overall numbers, they aren't great. Wins are a product of your team. I mean, he wouldn't have the wins he had if he was on the Sabres in the last 10 years. Now, you have to be good, too. I mean, part of being a good team is a good goalie. But I think save percentage and those types of things are more important when I look at a goaltender. I always felt, you know, yes, for the Sabres Hall of Fame. I'm also a little squirrely when it comes to statues and numbers. I think there are way, way, way too many retired numbers in the NHL. I walk, you know, like the Chicago Blackhawks retired Keith Magnuson's number. It's like, really? Are you kidding me? You know, that type of thing. And I think there are some in the rafters in Buffalo that don't belong there. Tim Horton, I think maybe they should have some sort of a shrine or memorial for him since he died as a Sabre, but it definitely was not number retiring worthy. Pat LaFontaine was injured probably for more than half the games he was here for. Had he not been, you know, that's a different story, but I just don't think he was number retired material. The one I think is missing is Mike Ramsey, who in my mind is the best defenseman in Sabre history. And he was a guy, when the NHL had a series against Russia, he was one of the six defensemen that was picked to play in that series as one of the six best defensemen in the NHL at the time. But the thing is, too, and something that maybe I need to think about more, when I'm thinking about these things is what Miller meant to the community, you know, and he meant a lot to this community with his foundation and the things he did for this community. That can't be overlooked. You know, he was, you know, did a lot of charity work. You know, he had that runway, I don't remember what it was called, but that he used to do to raise money. He's still raising money for Buffalo and his foundation. He was always a supporter of Buffalo and what he did. And that is important. That is something that maybe I don't think about as much as I should when we're talking about those things. And really, let's really stop and think here. I don't think the Sabres were thinking about it either until they gave Aaron Dell his number. And the fan base went berserk. I mean, the fan base just went crazy. I'd never seen anything like it, that they would dare give Ryan Miller's number away. And this is an organization that hasn't really listened to their fan base much in the past, I don't know how many years I want to go back, quite a few. And I've liked what I've seen from this organization in the past year or two, even like in their presentation in a game day. I mean, they had a day where they had kids day, and kids did everything. They were the PA announcer. They did the interviews of players. It was so well done, you know, with what they did. And it seems to me like they are listening to their fans again. And I don't think they were at all for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this was, I don't think they had planned on doing this, especially since they gave his number to Aaron Dell. And the fans, I think, showed them that maybe they needed to do this.
And ultimately, it's a great honor for Ryan Miller, but it's also something that potentially is going to get more butts in seats, which, based on what we saw last year, has to be a massive priority for the organization.
Yeah, but I don't think this is a gimmick. If they retired, you know, Stu Barnes' number, then maybe we could say that. But I just think they responded to the fans. They responded to their fan base, who really believe in many, many cases his number should be retired. It's not something that I think is a bad thing. It's not something that I think is crazy or anything like that. It's just not anything I would have done. But as I said, I'm a little goofy when it comes to retiring numbers and that type of thing. I'm really stingy when it comes to that stuff.
If there's a moment for Ryan Miller as a Sabre, unfortunately for me, it's an unfortunate one, Paul, because I think about all the wins and I think of how things turn south. And for me, if I had to pinpoint one play, Lucic running Miller while the rest of the Sabres just kind of like stood around and shrugged their shoulders. And then all of a sudden, a few years after that, they're tanking. I mean, how do you remember Ryan Miller if there was a play or something, your memories of the goaltender?
Just intensity. He was very intense and very intelligent. You can have a conversation with Ryan Miller about current affairs. It didn't have to be about hockey, but he also was very intelligent about talking hockey. But he also could be, you know, prickly and you know, come after you as a media person. I mean, I don't know if the media was his favorite thing to do, but, you know, it's because of the competitor he was. You know, after a game, he didn't want to sit there and talk to the media and listen to questions about what happened in the game they lost, because he was taking it personally. And, you know, as far as losing that game, and it was the intensity that he showed in what he did and how he went about his job. So that's what I remember most about him. But yet, he's such a good human being. I remember my wife passed away and I came back and came in the door. You know, Ryan Miller, he was the first guy that walked up to me with tears in his eyes and gave me a hug. You know, and I'm the media. I'm like the, quote, big bad media. You know, not, he never said that, but I mean, a lot of athletes think that. And, you know, I remember that. You know, if you want to say, what do I remember most about Ryan Miller, that might be it. Mm. You know, that you know, he was, and he had tears in his eyes when he walked up to me. You know, and that told me a lot about the human being.
Paul, we have a bit of additional news here at the Buffalo Sabres, and I'm pretty sure that this has become official here. Kevin Weeks reporting it earlier. This is a paper move, but the Sabres acquiring the contract of Ben Bishop from Dallas and a 2022 seventh-round draft pick from Dallas in exchange for the oh-so-popular future considerations. That's all this is, right? This is a move to get the Sabres closer to that cap floor?
And they're willing to, yeah, they have, you know, salary cap space. If somebody wants to give them a draft pick, they can take on salary. According to Cap Friendly, they don't even have to pay the full salary. I think insurance helps pay for it from what they were saying. But it helps them that way. They get a seventh round pick. The Dallas Stars acquire future considerations, which that's the problem I have with this whole thing. As Rob Ray says, he was traded to Ottawa for future considerations. We're still waiting for those future considerations. You know, those trades are legal in the NHL, and I don't understand why, you know, that there is no such thing as future considerations. You're taking a contract off Dallas's hands. They'll give you a seventh round pick in return to do it. And, you know, that's the way business is done around the National Hockey League.
Yeah, here in Rochester, Ryan Callahan makes his home. You remember him as an Ottawa Senator at the end, which he never actually dressed for them.
And last year, Johnny Boychuk was a Buffalo Sabre.
Yeah.
I mean, they did the same thing. They needed to get to the floor, so they wound up doing that one too.
Paul, we're trying to figure out if the Sabres are going to have a run and perhaps get into the postseason, what teams may actually, somebody's got to come out. And when we look at teams around the East right now, I guess let's start in Boston. I personally was surprised that Cassidy was let go. What was going on there? I mean, are they rebuilding or are they trying to like perhaps upgrade and thinking they want Trotz? What in your opinion is going on with the Bruins right now?
Well, quite honestly, he was surprised too. He was, according to him, he was told he was all right. He was safe. The next thing you know, he was gone. And does that, you know, Bergeron and Pasternak are free agents. Is there something with that we don't know about? Is there something other players have said that they didn't get along with him, you know, that would make it that all of a sudden the Bruins had changed their mind and wanted to fire it? I know a lot of people are just ripping the Bruins, saying it's the old boys network. Whereas the guys who really are hurting that franchise are the GM and Neely and those guys, you know, Sweeney and Neely and those guys, and they just get to keep their jobs in what they call an old boys network. And then you make the coach the sacrificial lamb. So Boston's a tough one because who knows if Pasternak and Bergeron are going to be back. If they're not, that team's in trouble. I mean, they're a big part of that team. Plus, Marchand is injured. He won't be ready for the beginning of the season. So, you know, that team definitely is in trouble if they don't re-sign those players, and we still don't know who's the coach going to be. Is it going to be a coach that can come in and motivate these players?
Paul, when we look at the larger landscape of the East, we see Boston that could be trending downward going into next season, and we're looking at teams that, you know, the Sabres could potentially leapfrog if they continue on the trajectory that they're on. Is Pittsburgh another one of those teams that could potentially be a candidate for the Sabres to overtake in terms of trying to get into the postseason this time next year?
They could be. I mean, the Rangers are a team that you look at. They had 110 points this year, but they were on the outside looking in for many years, and that's why they had the number one pick, and they drafted high for a couple of years, and they took out the Islanders. The Islanders were like in the Eastern Conference Finals. Columbus is another team that we're making the playoffs to on a fairly regular basis. You know, so the Islanders, you know, come out and the Rangers kind of go in. So Pittsburgh is a team, you know, all right, the group has been together for 17 years. What's going to happen with Malkin? You know, of course, Crosby will be staying, I think. I mean, I guess they never say never, but I have no indication that he wouldn't be staying. But Letang and Malkin, you know, who knows what happens with them and how do they replace them? And, you know, I've never been extremely impressed with Pittsburgh's goaltending at all, you know, with the way it goes. So what are they going to be doing and how are they going to be keeping themselves relevant and keeping themselves at, a, well, 103 points that they had this year.
Paul, you brought up the Rangers, and now we wait till tomorrow night for Game 6. And I know the Rangers were down 3-1 to Pittsburgh. They came back. They were down 3-2 to Carolina. They came back. I don't know. This feels a little different to me. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing on the series that Tampa Bay right now leading 3-2?
To me, it ended last night. They had to win that game. I just don't think that they can lose that game and then win two in a row. I know, yeah, people are going to say, well, they already run two in a row against Tampa. Well, they were playing a totally different team. Tampa had 9 days off, and they definitely showed it. I mean, it took them 7 periods to get into this series. They weren't the Tampa Bay Lightning. Vasilevsky wasn't himself at all. And they got down 2-0. And in the 7th period of the series, they were down 2-0 in the game. Looking to go down 3-0 in this series. Had they not come back and won that game, all of a sudden, in the second period of that game, the Tampa Bay Lightning arrived. And they were back. And back in great form. But it took them a long time after that layoff. That layoff really does damage to teams and good teams. Because you can't, it's the playoffs, and you can't simulate that. You can scrimmage, you can do whatever you want for those 9 days in practice. You're not going to simulate what the playoffs are all about. Then all of a sudden you're back in it again. It's against a team that's been rolling. And luckily for the Lightning, they figured it out before they got too far behind. Because if they didn't figure it out in that game, or if they got a lucky bounce against them and they lose that game, now it's 3-0. Now you're in big trouble. Sure, Tampa Bay's capable, if they got down 3-0, of winning the series, but I don't think at that point I would have predicted it, even though it's starting to look now like they're going to win 4 games in a row after dropping the first two.
So, Paul, Tampa gets hot after their long layoff. It took them a couple of games. Do you anticipate the same kind of hangover for Colorado as they get into the final? They're going to have a long layoff regardless of whether the series ends this weekend or extends into next week. What do you think about the Avalanche? They're representing the West as they get underway after a long layoff and dispatching of Edmonton in 4 games.
Yeah, I do think that. I think that they could have, if this goes 7, they could have a longer layoff than the Lightning did. And, you know, I think that could hurt them. Now, would it take them 7 periods to get it back? I don't know. I mean, we'd have to wait and see. But the other team, the Eastern Conference team, would be coming in just like the Rangers did. The Rangers were ready to roll against Tampa Bay. They were right on top of their game. And Tampa Bay wasn't even close. And you saw the results of what that happened. So, for different teams and different players, I think it's going to take a different amount of time for them to get back. I thought Tampa would have a hard time. I didn't think it would last for two games and a period. I thought maybe a game, and then they're ready to roll in the second game, but they weren't. So, you know, Colorado could get it back a little bit sooner if it happens to them at all. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it always happens, but I think it normally happens.
Paul, last one for me, and it was great seeing you in person at the Amerks game, the triple overtime, unfortunately, last time we saw Amerks hockey, but it just felt great to see, like, everybody here in Rochester getting into the team, and now we're not wanting to wish our summer away, certainly, but we're already looking forward to next season, and we know the way this works, okay? We're here to, you know, promote players up to Buffalo. So with that being said, who has a good chance actually to starting out in Rochester? I would have to think Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. What about Quinn? Who else might you think? Because it's certainly going to be a different looking Amerks team. We all know this, but who might be some familiar faces do you think that could be here opening night?
I think there's no question at all that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is in Buffalo next year, unless he has an absolutely horrendous training camp. I think they're looking for a goaltender to hang out with him. It wouldn't surprise me if they signed Subban to a 1-year deal or something and he winds up the goaltender down there. Wouldn't shock me if Tokarski wound up down there, you know, with Subban or something like that. That's where he was supposed to be to start this season anyway. Alexander Kisikov, the guy, the second round pick of the Russian that they signed, I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to see down there this year. Isaac Rosen, I got to find out more about. I don't know if it's exactly like the contract. I think it was Russell Linen signed his first year here, where he had the Sabres to send him to Rochester had to get permission from his team in Europe, and they wouldn't give it. So it was either Buffalo or back to Europe. I know Rosen has. I know there's a date in there. I think it might be December 1st, where the Sabres have to decide. But what I don't know is if it's the same where his team back home gets a chance to negate him going to the AHL, or if he can go down there. Now, he's a very small player. I would hate for him to get in the same spot that Nylander did. Nylander physically was not even close to being ready to play in the American Hockey League at his age. And Isaac Rosen's even smaller. Mm. So, you know, that's something I think they would have to look at as far as that goes. You have Quinn and Peterka. It's an interesting group there. I think both need to be in your top six if you're in Buffalo. I don't think you need either one of them out there with Gergensens and Neposo. I don't think it helps their development. I don't see the point. I think both played well enough to graduate to the NHL, but is there a spot in Buffalo's top six for both of them? If not, I could see Peterka maybe coming back, and then if the Sabres get an injury in their top six, he's in Buffalo right away. I could maybe see that happening. Maybe see Olofsson traded, even though he played well at the end. I mean, he could wind up in arbitration, and I don't know if the Sabres want that. So, you know, something could happen there. So it'll be just interesting to see how that all's going to work out. You know, how do they feel right now, you know, about Laxinen, who, you know, didn't even start the playoffs. He was benched. You know, so, you know, I would think he's going to be back in Rochester. You know, Weisbach, I think another one that would be back there. So those types of things, too, to see how all that works out as far as, you know, I know they signed those guys from the draft last year, Bloom and Nadeau, but both are juniors, and they can't go to Rochester. So they either have to play in Buffalo or go back to their junior team. So you won't be seeing either one of them.
Paul, great insight and information as always. Are we going to see you next month at training camp? Are we going to see you in Rochester again?
I don't know. I think I'll do some of the stuff around here. I don't know, you know, since it's been a couple of years, I'd like to, but if I don't know if it'll happen or not.
Okay. Well, enjoy your weekend regardless, buddy. Appreciate the time as always.
No problem. Take care.
There he is, Paul. Thanks, Hamilton, Paul. WGR, covering the Sabres, giving us some good insight. There's some good wisdom as far as how this series between Tampa and the Rangers might end. And according to Paul, last night was it. That was the end.
That's the best sort of sports talk, you know, I think. When somebody like, yeah, no, I disagree. Like, yeah,
Ryan Miller thing, yeah. that Paul, you know, but he also admits, like, I'm a little bit different when it comes to how I view these things. And for Paul, Miller doesn't cut the mustard. That they retired too many numbers. That LaFontaine shouldn't be up there. That Horton shouldn't be up there.
Tim Horton should not be up there. I'm sorry. I know he died tragically, but...
Interesting. I love that. Love having Paul on with us to talk about that. And here, I think it's an automatic. I think he's a worthy inclusion. I don't have any problem with them. And I also see from the Sabres standpoint, yeah, you're listening to the fans. The fans were upset that Dell was wearing Miller's number and you went above and beyond. Now you're saying, okay, well, not only are we going to not let anybody else, we're going to retire the number.
That's funny. Like,
you need butts in seats, man. Yeah. You got to start listening to your fans. And in the last year or so, Hamilton's right. They're getting better. They've gotten better.
So you put that on a Friday night, right? Ryan Miller night, and you put it against a rival. I mean, you sold out Rick Jeanneret night. I would hope you would sell out Ryan Miller night.
I would hope so, too. That's the business. And they need to improve because attendance was abysmal last year, obviously. All right, let's get to appetizers. We've got a few news and notes stories to get to here in the sports bar, including another wide receiver getting his.
Oh, of course. Yeah, like money everywhere. What happened to Michael Thomas? Remember him? Like Saints was really good, first round fantasy pick. Got an update on him, an update on DK Metcalf, also JPP in the news.
All right, appetizers next in the sports bar, happy hour right around the corner. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, The Fan, Rochester.
Stay connected to your favorite stations and discover your next favorite on the Odyssey app
AUDACY.
Odyssey.
Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.